Welcome back, everyone, to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari, and you're tuned in as you've been doing so for over 35 years now. And as always, wherever you are across the nation, you can always pick up the phone, give me a call, or send me an email, and I will be more than happy to share my experience with you. But for the next few minutes, hold the calls. We're going to go to our guest line. On our guest line, always a pleasure to have him on the broadcast, and that is Professor Alan S. Blinder. He's the Gordon S. Rentschler Memorial Professor of Economics and Public Affairs at Princeton University and a regular economist for the Wall Street Journal. Dr. Blinder is a former vice chairman of the Federal Reserve, a member of the President's Council of Economic Advisors, a former deputy assistant director of the Congressional Budget Office during presidential campaigns. He serves as an economic advisor. He continues to advise members of Congress and office holders. He appears frequently in PBS, CNBC, CNN, Bloomberg, and right here on Market Wrap. Dr. Blinder, thank you so much for joining us today, and Happy New Year.
Well, you're very welcome, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you so much. Let's start with today's job report. Yesterday, the job report, the ADP number, came out slightly stronger than expected. Market went down. Today, it came out slightly stronger than expected. The market took off to the upside, and everybody said, well, this is great because the wages are not going up as much as anticipated. And we might now, everybody's saying we might get that soft landing, which was impossible a few weeks ago, a few months ago. First of all, Dr. Blinder, do you think we're going into a recession? Everybody's been looking for it for about a year now.
Yeah, you know, I think it's about a 50-50 call. And if there is a recession, I think it's very likely to be a mild one. I mean, you're just talking about the jobs numbers. It was kind of silly for the markets to look at the ADP numbers and the real numbers so differently, since they were so much the same. But neither one of those is pointing to a recession. Just to put that into perspective, those numbers are around, they're about the same, and they're about 2.5 times the number of jobs we need just because of growth of the population and the labor force. 2.5 times. That's not a recession by any means.
Well, you know, on Wall Street, it's a recession. And Wall Street, as you know, people on Wall Street think when the entire world revolves around them. And if it's a recession on Wall Street, they're saying it has to be a recession. And they've been beating this drum all around. But if you talk to people on Main Street, they're saying, look, there's plenty of jobs out there. And as long as I have a job, I can spend. And that's where the demand is coming from, rather than the perception of Wall Street. What do you think?
Yes, that's correct. And also, let's not forget that because of the huge government transfer payments during the pandemic and the slowness of American consumers to spend them, they still have a lot of that in the bank, literally in the bank. If you look at checking deposits in American banks, they're gigantic by recent historical standards. So some of that is getting spent, but only a little, and there's plenty more where that came from. And, you know, not to make little of the point you started with, Mo, people have jobs and are gaining jobs. You know, when that jobs number comes in plus 250K a month or something like that, it means 250,000 more Americans gain jobs than lost jobs in that month.
That's the thing that we have to think about. And that's, I think, how people look at recessions when they lose jobs. But what do you think about the market's response to the jobs report today? How do you think that'll impact the Fed's decision going forward? Because the Fed is saying, look, unemployment is not going up and we can continue to raise rates because we're not worried about a recession. Economy is doing well and we can continue to keep the foot on the brake. Do you think they need to do that, first of all, or do you think they've done enough? And do you think they will back off in the first quarter?
I think they need to do much less, and I think backing off in the first quarter is a real possibility. And I want to switch your question around a little, only a little, so that what the Fed is really focused on is not the job. I mean, they look at everything. So, of course, they're looking at the jobs and the state of the labor market. But they're really looking more than anything else about inflation.
Right.
And I had a piece in the Wall Street Journal just this morning by coincidence about how inflation is coming down. more than people realize. And if that keeps up, we'll see. But if that keeps up, the Fed's going to take its foot off the brake sooner than maybe even the Fed realizes.
That's really the thing. If you look at inflation, oil prices, which were a big contributor, have come down. They're below where they were, close to where they were at the beginning of last year. Wheat prices, you look at a number of these commodities, they're all back down to where they were before the war started in Ukraine. And inflation, I know we look at the year-over-year numbers, but if we look at the month-over-month numbers, it is decelerating. Correct. And it's decelerating at a very fast pace.
Correct. And that is exactly the point of the piece I had in the Wall Street Journal this morning. In fact, because I just wrote it, the numbers that were in my head. For the CPI, the last 12-month inflation rate is 7.1%, and that's what everybody's focused on. That's way, way too high. But for the last 5 months, it's 2.5%,
right?
Which is not too high. Now, there's no guarantee we stay there, but in a literal sense, we now have CPI inflation down to where the Fed wants it to be. And the question becomes, can we keep it there?
Yeah, the article that you have today is titled, "What If Inflation Dropped and No One Noticed?" And that is really the thing that everybody is so focused on inflation, and it is coming down. And they're saying now, everybody's saying, wait a minute, inflation come down, that doesn't matter. Now the Fed has got to get the unemployment rate to 4.6%, where it could peak out. And that's not what the Fed has said. They said it could go there. It does not have to go there. And as long as inflation comes down, then the Fed said, we don't need to raise unemployment. We don't need to put us in a recession and go overboard with raising rates.
Correct. That's exactly correct, Mo. And furthermore, you know, you're saying this yourself as well, the probability, the odds that that might happen have gone up in recent months as the data have come in, not down. You know, I would have made a modest bet against that 6-8 months ago. And now I wouldn't. Now I think it's maybe an even chance that we don't have anything that resembles a recession, that we have a soft landing this time around, which would be quite an achievement.
That would be a tremendous achievement, and it would surprise just about everybody on Wall Street and everybody, all the naysayers and everybody who's been looking for a recession under every rock, and they haven't been able to find it yet. What do you think of the Fed? What do you think they do this year? Because they've came out with their dot plot. It says 5% plus, and yesterday, day before yesterday, Kashkari said 5.4%. Esther George said 5%. So on. Do you think they go once or twice, and they go February 1st and then in March and say that's it? And
I think there's a reasonable chance that that's what happens. When you say they go, only 25 basis points. You know, we started to get used to 75 basis points at once, which is very ahistorical. That's not the way the Fed has behaved in the past, but they had a lot of catching up to do. So I expect, and I think that I'm in line with market expectations on this one. Another 25 basis points at the next meeting, and probably another 25 at the one after that. And then, now we need a crystal ball, and I don't have one. If inflation remains well-behaved, that could be it.
That's the question. If inflation continues to come down and continues to move lower, then the Fed has done their job, and then they can sit back and see how the economy reacts. They've already put in a lot of restraint in the economy where they've already applied the brakes. There are those who think that the market cannot move back to an upward trend until the Fed stops raising rates. Do you disagree with that? And do you think as soon as the market realizes that the Fed is coming to an end, that the market and the economy takes off? And how do you think that'll impact the economy? The Fed has said they're concerned about asset prices being too high.
Well, let me take the last part first. The only reason they're concerned about asset prices, and especially stock prices, being too high is they think that's going to fight against their anti-inflation campaign. If and as they see their anti-inflation campaign winning, they won't care about that any longer, about the about stock prices going up. The first part of your question, I basically agree with that, with one little amendment, which I'm sure you'll agree, that the Fed doesn't actually have to stop. As soon as the market gets convinced that the Fed's going to stop pretty soon, I think it'll turn around and start rising.
Absolutely, Dr. Blinders, that the market is a discounting mechanism. It looks forward and sees and anticipates what the Fed or the economy might do.
Right. Give us
your, Professor Blinder, give us your outlook for the economy for 2023. I know everybody is saying it's a recession. It's going to be a deep recession. It's going to be a shallow recession. Everybody is talking about a recession. What do you think, and what are your views?
I'm going to give you a range. I often joke that unless someone's paying you to do it, you should not give numerical forecasts. So nobody is paying me to do it, so I won't. But I'll give you a range. I think the likely range for GDP growth in, let's just think about the four quarters of 2023, is something between, at the worst, a mild recession. So that's a -0.5%, or at worst, -1%, and trend growth, which these days is probably around 1.5-2%. And if someone was paying me, which nobody is, to make a numerical forecast, I'd probably split the difference between those two.
So you're not looking for deep recession. You're not looking at unemployment or anything like 2008 and 9. 2008 and 9, we did have the structural problems with the banks in trouble. Do you see this any structural problems in the economy except inflation?
No, with you know, a footnote. There's always something brewing beneath the surface that is creating hazards that perhaps many people are missing. Mm-hmm. Look what just happened with crypto.
Right.
If crypto was 10 times as large as it was when the crash came, which could have happened if the bubble kept blowing up, that would have posed a problem for the economy in terms of wealth destruction and maybe damage to other financial institutions. But it didn't. That crypto bubble burst pretty violently, actually,
right,
and really didn't do much damage outside the crypto world, where it did a lot of damage. There may be something else like that. Janet Yellen and others have spoken about leverage loans, for example, as posing a hazard. House prices have gone up quite a lot. That slowed down now dramatically, but it hasn't gone down. Mm-hmm. So if house prices look bubbly to you a month or 2 months ago, they probably still look bubbly. That could be problematic if they start falling. But we don't have the kinds of crazy mortgages and even crazier derivatives built on the mortgages that we had in 2007. So even if that happens, my guess is it won't happen, but even if it does happen, it'll do some damage, but not horrific damage.
We have about 30 seconds left, Professor Blinder. Do you think the stock market is overvalued?
I'm going to duck that question. I never know the answer to a question like that, except after. If you ask me to look backwards, I can tell you when it was overvalued and when it was undervalued. But that's a mealy-mouthed way of saying I don't have a strong view on that one way or the other.
Professor Blinder, I want to thank you, all, as always, for taking the time to be with us today on Market Wrap and share your thoughts and your wisdom and your expertise with all of us. Thank you again.
You're very welcome.
That's Professor Alan S. Blinder. He's the Gordon S. Rentschler Memorial Chair of Economic Affairs at Princeton University, also the former Vice Chairman of the Federal Reserve. Stay tuned. You're listening to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari. I'm going to take a short break and we'll be right back.